Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. A first note, you are here today. That is meaning that God has brought you to this place to hear His Word, and this Word is the Word that God has worked through this week, through my study and writing and so forth, for you to hear. So it would be worthwhile for you to pay attention to the Word of God, that you might hear it, gain repentance from it, believe in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and receive its instruction for your own edification. The prophet Jeremiah was not given a very popular message, but he was given that message by God to hand over to the people of Israel, the people of the nation of Israel, many of which had gone astray from the faith and wandered into false belief, despair, and other great shame and vice. He was given a lonely message, one which was both only proclaimed by him, but also one which drove hearers away, because no one wants, according to the flesh, to hear the hard things he had to say. He was given the word of the Lord concerning wrath and chastisement. The reigning popular preachers of his day preached and prophesied how good things were for the Israelites, how good things were happening to them, and how wonderful their lives were. All the while, heaping up followers of themselves rather than followers of the one true God. The Old Testament lesson recounts and summarizes their preaching from God's perspective. Vain hopes, self-made visions, no warning for the despisers of the Word of God, but blessings instead. And blessings instead of warning suddenly for those who stubbornly were following their own hearts. The false dreams of these prophets. Anything that would be well received apart from the Word of God, which from Jeremiah's experience was not well received at all. The message of the popular preachers of the day caused people to forget their God. Any one of you draw a comparison to our world and our nation today? Do we have all sorts of preachers who say what pleases people? Do we have preachers whose message is more directed to gathering a crowd of happy supporters rather than the disciples of the Lord our God? Do we have worship which is reverent towards God, the God who should be feared, or do we have worship which entertains comfortability and entertainment? How about our nation? Is it pleasing to God? Is the collective church found in America pleasing to God? Are there false churches that pretend to be Christian? More personally, do you let your own stubborn following of your own wishes and desires determine truth rather than the Word of God? Can or could a family situation happening within your household or amongst extended relatives and so forth cause you to turn your back on the pure confession of God's Word? To turn your back on a commandment, say the sixth. To turn your back on a faithful pastor or congregation. It's happening all over, and it has even happened here. Your family, a gift though it is not more important than the Word of God. Your job isn't either. Your popularity amongst your friends or the social elites of our day isn't either. And all of these ought to be considered death traps for your faith if and when they seek to replace the truth with lies. Even lies in God's name that bring you earthly peace, earthly comforts, and earthly ease of life. But the word of our Lord this day, as it is every day, is a word of repentance. It's always been that way. That's what Jeremiah ultimately preached. That God is not mocked. God will not tolerate wickedness forever. He will bring it the reward that it has reaped. He will bring it his own wrath and destruction and condemnation. It will take nations and bring them low, including our own. It will wipe out supposed churches. It will take those who have followed false doctrines and cast them out of the kingdom of God. Because God is dead serious about his word. That's why he gives a commandment having to do with it. And his word teaches things. It teaches things like doctrine. It has been popular in the last couple of generations, especially in the Missouri Synod, to dismiss doctrine as being picky, strict, majoring in minors. There's a reason we had to pick the hymn from an old hymnal to print in your bulletin today rather than searching out our own hymnal for it. Does the word of God that you heard today sound like that? Does the word of God sound like it downplays doctrine, teaching? Or does it teach that it is important? Did what you hear today from Jesus, as he said and as he taught, did it show you that Jesus cares about what is taught? That even Jesus cares about even the minor details? Why would Jesus care? An example might be, if you started a long trip, you were going to walk a long ways, and you put on a blindfold, what would happen to your course and to your destination if, being sent off, a person stood by you and turned you off in the wrong direction just the slightest degree at the beginning? As you walked on and on, how far would you be from your destination? You obviously wouldn't get there. The slightest bit of false doctrine is like that 1 degree shift away from the narrow way that leads to heaven. It's dangerous. And because it's dangerous, our loving Lord Jesus Christ warns us today, beware of false prophets. That is to say, false teachers. Prophets taught the word of God. We often will forget this when we think of our Bible and prophets and apostles and so forth. We'll forget that prophets were teachers. Because it's more common to think of prophets as, yes, they taught God's word, but more importantly, they preached about future events that were going to happen. That's what they were really known by. And it's true, the Spirit by them gave them utterance to do so. But they primarily were teaching God's people his word. And so a false prophet, as Jesus names them, teaches something other than God's word, something contrary to God's word. This brings us, of course, to what I've said about our nation, its churches, our own synod, and what surrounds us today. There are false prophets out there. That Jesus here is warning all Christians to beware of false teachers. This is the Sermon on the Mount. He is not talking just to pastors. He's talking to all Christians. These passages certainly could serve to warn us as pastors about how we conduct ourselves in the ministry to be sure that we're handing over the truth. But this gospel lesson is God's word for you. And because you are here to hear it, is God's word for you today. To beware false teachers. That you will know them by their fruit. That yes, this means the way they conduct themselves in this life, as they are often uncovered to be shameless heathens in their lifestyles and practices. That 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1 are indeed tools to judge prophets or preachers. but also means the fruit of their preaching. What are they offering for the nourishment of their people's souls? What teaching are they giving? Good fruit that nourishes the soul, or poisonous imitation food that harms the soul? Now, the question underlying all of this is, how would you know? When I just said 1 Timothy chapter 3 or Titus 1, did you know what I was referring to? When I began this sermon and mentioned how Israel had been led into false belief, despair, and other great shame and vice, do you know what I was quoting? The first, 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1, Scripture. The second, the Small Catechism, the Lord's Prayer to be precise. How would you know if a false teacher is before you trying to lead you away from Christ, even by that slightest 1 degree shift in direction? You would know if you knew how to judge good or bad fruit. You would know if you made use of the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures, and also learned what it teaches, as confessed truly and purely in things like the Small Catechism. That the sermons here at Our Savior are sometimes longer, to teach the Word of God to you for this very reason, that you would know the Word of God. That we offer Bible studies here at Our Savior for this very purpose. They just aren't there to keep the pastors busy or for those who really want to learn more, but they are there for every single one of you as Christians to learn the faith. Yes, to the praise and glory of Jesus, but also to help you to see and to hear all that is going on around you in this life, and to be aware that there are false prophets around you, and to learn the voice of the shepherd, and thus be able to tell when it's not a shepherd speaking to you, then to mark and to avoid them as the soul-snatching, wicked drones of the devil that they are. They deal in death of the soul. And their poison is their false teaching. That your best defense is to know the Word of God and its teachings, its doctrine. That this fall there are any number of studies that are starting back up again. That you should join one for the good of your soul. That every week we gather around the Word here in this building in divine service. Be there to hear and learn it. Let distractions, all the sorts of distractions we have, be over for your good. That the Word of God is good for you. It is better than anything that might cause you to miss it. Anything. And in the end, most of these things are not distractions at all, but they are attempts by ravenous wolves to rip you away from Jesus. The worst of false teaching is that it takes something away from you, and thus then also takes you away from something. It takes the blessed gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ away from you, and then it takes you away from Jesus Christ, the God who saved you. And that gospel, the good news that is there in Jesus in the flesh, as he sat there in the flesh teaching his own disciples, that is the gospel that our Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth to redeem us, to teach us, to warn us. That Jesus himself believed rightly and did rightly for our sake as our substitute. That Paul briefly speaks of this in his admonition to the Ephesian elders. He's never going to see them again, so his last words are notable. He speaks of the church as those who have been purchased by his own blood, that is, Christ's own blood. that Jesus, who spoke this warning to his disciples in the flesh, with blood flowing through his veins, would shed that same exact blood on the cursed tree of the cross in order to purchase, to buy back, to redeem those who had been lost by the sin of Adam and who had run from God by every successive sinful generation, embracing all sorts of false doctrine along the way. That God has blood, and God has shed his own blood to purchase his church. That the debt of sin had to be repaid, and only the blood of Christ could be sufficient to do the job. And that Christ did that all out of love for his Father and for love for you. The true doctrine of the atonement. The true doctrine of justification, that by believing this, you have all of what Christ had done, righteousness and faith and holiness and so forth. At the core of what we believe, teach, and confess as Christians. Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father." What's the will of God? What is the will of Jesus, his Father? Again, if you know your small catechism, you know the answer. And you can come up with this answer if you know the scriptures as well. That God's will is done when he breaks and hinders every evil plan and purpose of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature, which do not want us to hallow God's name or let his kingdom come, and when he strengthens and keeps us firm in his word and faith until we die. God's will involves you knowing God's word and rightly using his name. You are hearing this today, that Christ has loved you enough to have it spoken to you. If you think this is harsh or strict, please remember the warning of Christ comes alongside of his giving up of his life for your sake. The same Jesus who warned the disciples, "Beware of false prophets," and rebuked all of their false belief and false doctrines, is the same Jesus who went to the cross to die for them. And it's the same for you. Do not close your ears to the word of God this day. Do not despise it. For just as it was in Jeremiah's day, it will not go well for you if you despise God's word. And do not follow your own heart. Disaster waits for the person who lets their sinful heart direct them. It's the worst advice to give someone, to follow their heart. Follow the word. Do not let the present age and the false teachers cause you to ultimately forget God by discarding the truth of God's word, the teachings that it hands over to you, the doctrine which along leads directly to the narrow way to Christ and the salvation he's accomplished for you. That you have been given the Spirit of our God to keep you in this one true faith. And that you have been placed into this congregation with a pure gospel and the rightly administered sacraments by God in order that you would know the truth. And that truth would make you free. You have pastors who have been sent by God who seek to every time they can point you to Jesus. Not ones who set up cults of their own personality and gather people around themselves. That God's will for you is that you would be strengthened by his word, that you would be kept firm in his word and faith until you die, that you have been encouraged to be a part of that here in this place among your fellow Christians, and this morning you find yourselves there. May next week find the same. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please rise.